Well, it is 2 o'clock p.m. and welcome to the National Science Foundation Expand AI Program webinar. It's our pleasure to host you here this afternoon. We will give you hopefully lots of information about the program and be able to take your questions. Next slide, please. Okay, this is the agenda for this afternoon. We'll have opening remarks from our leadership in the SAIS Directorate, and then we will launch into the presentation. We'll have a brief presentation on partnership opportunities, and then we'll take your questions. Next slide, please. Okay, over to you, Wendy.
Abby, thank you so much. I'm really thrilled to be here. I'm Wendy Nelson. I'm the Deputy Division Director. As you can see, we have a very long name, but it's the Division of Information Systems and Information and Intelligence Systems in the SAIS Directorate. And I just want to say that I'm really thrilled to be here. This is an amazing program. Our Expand AI is an amazing program. And it really builds on some of the ideals that NSF has grown on. We have been investing heavily in AI, and I know you'll hear more about our AI institutes, but we've been investing heavily and we've created a network that is very strong and very broad. But we realize that MSIs or minority serving institutions are really an untapped resource in this area, and that we have that provides us many, many opportunities to broaden the perspectives, broaden the voice, and broaden the talent pool. And so we with the Expand AI program has been a brilliant way, I think, to achieve these goals. And I look forward to hearing more during the webinar, but please understand this is a program we're exceedingly proud of and very grateful to the team that's leading this, who's done a lot for the community on it. So Abby, I'll turn back to you.
Abby, you got a drum. You're
You're
up.
muted.
Sorry. I forgot to mention, please type your questions into Q&A. We will take questions at the end of the webinar, toward the end of the webinar. So please type them in. And thank you very much, Wendy. Next, Ariam, AI Institutes, please.
Sure. Next slide. Yeah. Good afternoon. My name is Ariam Plaku. I'm a program director in the same directorate as Wendy, SAIS, and the same division, IIS. And at NSF, I co-lead the overall AI Institutes program together with my colleague, Jim Donlan. I'm also actively involved with the Expand AI program. So it's a great pleasure being here, and I'm looking forward to interacting with you during the question and answer session. Now I'm going to take a moment and briefly introduce the National Artificial Intelligence AI Research Institutes program, or as briefly known as the AI Institutes program. This represents a cornerstone federal government commitment to fostering long-term fundamental and use-inspired research in AI, with a focus on societal challenges and enhancing national competitiveness in AI. This program is a multi-sector effort led by the National Science Foundation, but also in partnership with several federal agencies, including USDA NIFA, Department of Defense, Department of Homeland Security, and Department of Education. We have also partnered with nonprofit organizations, particularly Simons Foundation, and the industry as well, Amazon, Google, Intel, IBM, Accenture, and Capital One. Each AI institute is funded at $20 million for a duration of 5 years, so roughly $4 million per year. And the objective of each AI institute is to advance foundational use-inspired AI research, but at the same time also to provide innovation in AI education and workforce development, and to build new partnerships, including partnerships with MSIs. As you can see from the picture at the center, these AI institutes, they are spread all over the United States. And we do have a virtual organization, AIVO, which helps all these AI institutes come together in order to form an ecosystem towards the various themes that these AI institutes have. So AVO provides a lot of information about all the individual AI institutes, but at the same time, also about the overall AI institutes, how they are functioning together to achieve goals that are larger than their initial efforts. Next slide, please. So currently, we have 27 active AI institutes. We started in 2020, and the first cohort included 7 AI institutes. 5 were funded from the National Science Foundation, and 2 were funded from NIFA. And the year after, the second cohort included 9 institutes. In 2023, we had 7. And 2024, we have 2 AI institutes funded by NSF and Simons Foundation. As you can see here in the picture, we have many logos. I believe here we have all the logos of all the 27 AI institutes, but there is a story behind each of these logos in terms of the research that they do and also the educational efforts that they provide. So please visit AVO for more information on each of these AI institutes. Next slide. Back to you, Abby.
Thank you, Arian, for that context for the rest of the presentation. Just a quick intro. My name is Abby Ilomoka. I'm a program director in the STEM Education Directorate, or EDU for short. I am also co-lead of the Expand AI program. And my task this afternoon is to give you an overview of the Expand AI program, just a very quick overview. So, program goals. Well, AI is the most disruptive technology of today. And the idea is it is important that everyone at every level of academic career be involved in some shape or form in AI, in how to use it, how to deploy it, how to be responsible when it comes to the use of AI. And so the idea behind the Expand AI program is to diversify participation in AI research, education, and workforce development. And to do this using two approaches, because we understand that minority-serving institutions are all very different. We want to make sure that this technology reaches the minority-serving institutions in this country, and there are about 2,000. But we recognize that some have very little capacity, zero capacity in some cases. So we offer a track called Capacity Building Pilot, or Capacity Building for short. And we also recognize that some MSIs have significant capacity already in the AI domain. And so we offer a second track called the Partnerships Track, in which they will find AI institutes to partner with so that they can scale up their research, education, and infrastructure, whatever is needed. So NSF has put this in motion or put this in place by making sure that any barriers to success are lowered. So, for example, we have a two-stage submission process. First, concept outlines are submitted, 2 pages long, work relative to a proposal, and feedback is given fairly soon, within a month, regarding the concept outline. If it aligns well with the goals of the Expand AI program, you will be invited to submit. If not, you will be given an opportunity to revise your concept outline. We also have flexible submission windows. You can submit essentially whenever you are ready. There are no single date deadlines. Next slide, please. A little bit of history here, and you can read it on your own. I won't spend too much time, but the program is about 2 years old. Not about, it is just over 2 years old. And we do our best to get information out. We have monthly office hours every third Monday of the month between 3 and 4 p.m. And we occasionally have live webinars like this to also answer questions live. Next slide, please. So once again, there are two tracks, two approaches. One is for those who have little or no capacity. If you are unsure whether your capacity fits into the CAP or the partner track, you're welcome to put that concept outline together and we will respond and let you know. And of course, the partner track is for those with significant capacity who have found an AI institute to partner with. We have, as our guest this afternoon, two AI institutes leadership personnel who will speak to you about exploring partnerships. Next slide, please. A little history on the funding: 32 million, 18 CAP, 9 partners have been awarded to date across how many states is it? Probably a dozen or more states, as you see here in the map. And they cover the whole spectrum: AI research, AI education, and workforce development. Next slide, please. Award topics vary. So we're not limited to the traditional NSF supported STEM disciplines. So all of the STEM disciplines, obviously, but also non-STEM disciplines. So the humanities and the social sciences are supported, the medical fields are supported. And so this slide gives you an idea of the range of topics that we have given awards in. Next slide, please. I already explained the two-step process. You send in a concept outline, you get some feedback, and it's either well aligned with the goals of the program, in which case you're invited to submit a full proposal, or we recommend that you revise it and send it back in so that it is better aligned. When the full proposal comes in, that is either paneled or ad hoc reviewed in the usual NSF way. And if it is found to be competitive, it will result in an award. Next slide, please. Program budget, roughly the same. So 10 to 17 million, average about, I would say 15 million, 15 to 25 awards. Each CAP is 400,000 over 2 years. Each partner is between 300,000 and 700,000 a year for up to 4 years. So that's 2.8 million max for the partner, 400,000 max for the CAP. Next slide, please. Okay, so just back up one slide. Subrata, all yours.
Thank you, Abby. Welcome, everybody. A quick introduction. I am the lead for the SAIS Research Expansion Programs, lead the SAIS MSI and Excellence in Research Programs with HBCUs. And I'm delighted to be here with my colleagues, and I will now focus on explaining and detailing about the eligibility for the concept outline and proposals, both for the capacity building and partner. Next slide. So if you are an institution who would like to participate in the program, this is very important for the institutional sponsored program offices and PIs and investigators to note what are the organizations that can submit. So these are all detailed in the solicitation, but please keep in mind some of these action items as you prepare your concept outline. Organization may submit one proposal per submission window. And when I say submission window, that's what Abby was mentioning about any time. It is like, you know, throughout the year. Your organization must have to wait for a determination before submitting a new proposal in the next window. And this is something which we reiterate and we get a lot of questions on. You need to understand that declined proposals require a new invitation to submit, and you would be getting ample amount of feedback and office hour sessions in order to address those and revise and resubmit. An organization that has received an invitation to submit a full proposal must wait for that proposal to be submitted and resolved before submitting a concept outline on the same topic area. Next slide. And this one actually highlights what we always try to address and what Wendy was mentioning, that, you know, this is the Expand AI program. It's geared towards proposers and institutions who are from minority serving institutions, as detailed in the US Department of Education National Center for Education Statistics. As noted over here, the details of it are also in the solicitation 23-506. And here are the institutions which are eligible to submit. If there's any questions on the eligibility, feel free to put your question in the Q&A. Be happy to address them. Next slide. Who as a PI is eligible? The principal investigator must hold a full-time faculty appointment or be a senior administrator to be eligible to submit to the program. In case of the partner pathway, a co-PI must be identified to represent the partnership with an AI institute. And that is the important thing to highlight in order for you to establish the partnership for advanced MSI who can then partner with a PI from the partner AI partner to build that partnership at the host institution. The co-PI must be verified by the institute director in the institution integration plan as being among the senior personnel of the institute. And as Arion mentioned, we have folks from partner institutions who can discuss and detail on their experiences. Next slide. There's additional information which is already detailed in the solicitation, but I would like to highlight only eligible organizations that have received an official program officer concurrence email are invited to submit a full proposal. And once you receive the invitation, you must submit the documentation and receive official response in order for you to submit to the next upcoming deadline. With regards to the institution or the organization, we submit one proposal per the submission window. I did discuss this as I was going through in the earlier slide. Just keep in mind that in order for you to receive an invitation to submit a full proposal, you have to wait for that confirmation and concurrence. And once it is submitted and currently being reviewed, you have to wait until its resolution or response before you submit similar concept outline. Next slide. Right now, I'll invite my colleague, Alfred Hero, to come and talk about crafting quality concept outlines. Al, take it over.
Thank you, Subrata. I'm Al Hero. I'm in the CCF division, the Computing and Communications Foundations division. That's different from IIS. But in the SAIS directorate. And I'm going to talk about some of the best practices for crafting a good concept outline that will enable you to both receive feedback on your concept and potentially move you to the next stage of being invited to submit a full proposal. Next slide, please. The outlines are 2 pages. They're reviewed on an ongoing basis, so you can submit anytime. The concept outlines are required for both tracks. They have to be tailored to each track in a particular way that I'll mention in a minute. And they must be sent as a PDF attachment to an email to the Expand AI program at this email address, which is illustrated here. In order to guarantee that we have an expedient process, you are required to format your subject line so that it's very clear that you're submitting a concept outline you can add the particular programmer track cap a partner to that. Next slide, please. So a concept outline to be responsive will react to the solicitation in such a way that the program officers who review your concept outline can determine that you have a high potential for writing a successful proposal. And at that point, you'll receive an official invitation to submit a full proposal if you get the program officer concurrence email, as Subrata just mentioned. So you'll have 12 months to submit the full proposal once you've been invited. If the concept outline is not responsive, is determined not to have the components that give the program directors a sense that you will have a successful proposal, then we will provide feedback in addition to, of course, notifying you that it is not responsive. And that will disallow you from to submit a full proposal until you revise and resubmit your new concept outline if you wish to do so after the start of the next submission window. Concept outlines need to be substantially revised. You can't simply submit some minor modification of your concept outline and expect that that will receive a positive response. So this will be enhanced, your revision will be enhanced if you contact the program officers after you have received the invitation or the non-invitation to discuss why your concept outline was not responsive. And so you will not be eligible to apply for Expand IA funding if you do not receive an invitation. Any proposal that you do submit will be wasted work because it will be rejected without review. That's RWR, our NSF mnemonic for rejection without review. Next slide, please. So a concept outline needs to follow a particular format: a title, name of the PI, co-PIs, MSI status, goals, and so forth. I'm not going to go through these in any detail. These slides are going to be available for you to look at. So we'll just go on to the next. Some hints for competitive cap co-eyes: don't focus on individual research or projects, because the whole purpose of the cap program is to expand capacity at your institution. So it's not just an ordinary research proposal. It should be a single MSI. Preference is that you build capacity at your MSI. There should be an emphasis on research infrastructure institution-wide, not just in a single researcher's lab, as the first point is pointing to. And it should be focused on a broad range of research projects. Growth in AI capacity, of course, is the most important component that you need to address. Of course, sufficient details of your research projects, your IA research projects and ideas, or curriculum development, as it may be, will be required. So please go on to the next one. Now, competitive partners concept outlines, on the other hand, are submitted when you believe that you have achieved a sufficient capacity to partner with an existing institute. So you need to identify an AI institute, you need to form connections with that AI institute, and you have to then write your partner CO such that it's very clear what those connections are and what the research efforts are, how they will be divided across your MSI and the AI institute you have partnered with. A convincing joint strategy for collaborative work needs to be outlined. And the benefits to your MSI have to be clearly articulated, because this is all about expanding beyond your existing capacity through a partnership with a AI institute. Now, an institute that's not already a core member of the AI institute is eligible. If you're already a core member of an AI institute, you cannot partner with that institute. You could partner with another institute, but not with the AI institute with which you are currently affiliated. So next slide. And now I'll introduce Nick to talk about the full proposal preparation and submission.
Hello, everyone. I'm Nicholas Wagner. I am a AAAS Science and Technology Policy Fellow at NSF. I am in the same division as Arion, in SAIS Information Intelligence Systems Division. And I help with both Expand AI as well as the AI Institute's programs. So I'll talk a little bit about the full proposal preparation submission process. So I'm just going to foot stomp a bit on what was said earlier, that you must have an invitation after submitting a concept outline before you can submit a full proposal. We do have these recurring proposal submission windows. So for your purposes, this will essentially be each quarter of the next year. Will be a different proposal submission window. So if you have a proposal submitted in the first quarter, that is adjudicated, you submit another concept outline that we invite you to submit. You could theoretically do that in the next proposal submission window in the second quarter or in the following third quarter of the year. So another thing important to note is that the submission system will shut down if you're waiting to the last minute. It will shut down at 5 p.m. your local time, not Eastern time. That is a thing that you should keep in mind. And it will reopen for new submissions the morning of the next window. So for the next three proposal submission windows, those happen to be basically the day following the previous proposal submission window, with the exception of the final submission window, which will be ending in October of next year. An organization may submit one proposal per submission window, and you must wait for determination from NSF, either an award from NSF, a decline, or return of that review on that pending proposal before you can submit a new proposal in the next window. So you'll have to wait on that. Declined proposals require a new invitation to submit, so you'll have to submit a new concept outline and get that approved, or an invitation to submit through that process, and significant revision on that proposal. Well, if you get a return without review, you can submit again using the same concept outline, assuming that you're still within the 1 year from when the original invitation was extended following your concept outline submission. And if you received an invitation to submit a full proposal, you must wait for the proposal to be submitted and resolved before submitting another concept outline as well. So there are no, just a common question, there are no limits or restrictions on the number of proposals per PI or co-PI. You do have to wait for this adjudication to go through. Like I mentioned, the proposal submission windows that are upcoming are essentially starting in January of next year through March of next year, or early March, the day after in March through June, and then June through October. You can submit a concept outline at any time. These proposal submission windows are just for the actual proposals. But once you have a proposal submitted, you have to wait for that adjudication. The proposals are pretty similar between the two tracks. It's relatively straightforward. Like Al mentioned, you'll be able to read these slides on your own later. Some key differences between the two tracks. So in the CAP track, you'll be spending more time in these bulleted sections in the bottom left, talking about the need and for the CAP award and how you're going to use it to build towards some future state that you're envisioning. Whereas in the partner track, you'll spend more time talking about the capacity that merits you getting this partner award and how you plan to collaborate with an institute to meaningfully advance that capacity and sort of how you plan to do that. And in all these, you're going to be following the NSF guidance on proposal submission and preparation. Again, I won't go through all of the sections mentioned here. A lot of these are pretty standard for any NSF full proposals that you'd be submitting. One thing to note is in the other supplementary documents, you will need up to 3 pages note of institutional need and support, you know, from your institutional leadership, I should say. And then if you're doing a partner track, you will have to have a plan spelled out for how you would integrate with the AI Institute. And that is just, like I mentioned, for the partner tracks only. And make sure to attach the email from the program officer saying you were invited to submit. And these are just the brief overview of the guidelines. Please look at the full solicitation for more. And the submission of the full proposals can be done through either research.gov or grants.gov. The instructions for both are in the hyperlinks here. I'm going to turn it over now to Abby to talk a bit about the capacity building track proposals. Over to you, Abby.
Okay, thank you, Nick. Capacity building pilot track proposals. We awarded 11 in FY24. We're expecting roughly 10 to 15 for FY25. And once again, please stress the required research infrastructure, plans to leverage any established research groups, research strengths already available at the institution. Don't forget faculty development, faculty training, and any research experiences that emphasize diversification of investigators. Next slide, please. A couple of hints here, attributes of competitive CAP proposals, things to emphasize in your proposal, the benefits to the MSI, a strong institutional need and support statement, telling us exactly what the status is of AI research and instructional capacity on the campus. Be honest about this because we will look it up. We want to know exactly where you stand in terms of your current AI capacity. We'd like you to articulate a strong case for the need for capacity building. Next slide, please. A couple more examples of activity that you might put in a CAP proposal: establishment or significant enhancement of research, either foundational or use inspired, design of new curricula, academic pathways for teaching and learning in AI, significant increase in participation by investigators and their students. So those are the kinds of things we expect you to emphasize in a capacity building project. Next slide, please. At this point, I'm going to hand over to Arian to basically finish up the presentation. All yours.
Thank you, Abby. So the partner track, as we heard, is dedicated for MSIs to enhance their impact in AI research, education, and workforce development through high-value partnerships with one or more AI institutes. The focus of partner projects should be on shared complementary goals that benefit both the MSI and the AI Institute. So this is a key factor that your proposal should emphasize, this collaboration with the AI Institutes. Note that we do not require a CAP in order for you to submit a partner proposal, but you must have that capacity already built in order to be able to have a meaningful partnership. The criteria that are there for a partner proposals are that it must involve a partnership with one or more AI institutes, and it should establish a significantly new collaboration. So this collaboration should have clear potential to build on the MSI's current AI capabilities, tapping into their unique resources, talents, and perspectives. So the partner track seeks to create an environment where MSIs can grow in the AI landscape while also contributing to the national AI ecosystem. Next slide, please. So as you can see in this table, we have currently made 9 partner awards. This collection showcases a diverse range of projects that cover various themes, all with the potential to create mutually beneficial outcomes for both the MSI and the partner AI institutes, paving the way for shared knowledge and resources. Next slide. If you are applying for a partner track, you must clearly demonstrate the readiness to utilize external expertise and financial resources effectively. The goal is to focus on medium and long-term plans. This includes advancing the MSI's AI approaches, creating relevant use cases, and enhancing educational or workforce development initiatives. Additionally, proposals should outline how the MSI can expand and scale these efforts through formal, mutually beneficial partnerships. A key component of any partner proposal is a compelling partnership roadmap that outlines collaborations around a unifying theme or focus. This roadmap should clearly articulate the vision for the partnership and the steps needed to achieve those shared goals. Next slide, please. An effective roadmap is essential for guiding and communicating the goals of the collaboration. This roadmap should be depicted visually. You can use a diagram, logic model, table, or whatever you like, high-level overview, but you should also have a narrative that explains the roadmap in detail. And there are certain key areas that the roadmap should cover. For example, enhancement of existing projects, describing how the collaboration will elevate or expand upon projects that are already in place, or perhaps it can focus on new projects that are made possible through this partnership with the AI Institute, community building activities and engagement efforts like various workshops that can foster common interests, shared objectives, and long-term growth in the partnership. The roadmap should also highlight scaling of programs, including strategies and potential for expanding early stage programs, aiming for sustainable growth. And importantly, it must have an evaluation plan to measure both growth and mutual benefits for all activities, ensuring that the roadmap delivers on its goals effectively. Together, these elements provide a comprehensive framework for a successful, impactful partnership. Next slide. And we do have some resources for you. The AVO website is the main one where you can look at the existing AI institutes in order to find possible collaborations. And when you're considering collaborations, keep in mind that the subaward can be granted either to the lead organization of an AI institute or to any of its subawardee organizations. So I'll stop in here, and next we are going to have representatives from two AI institutes that are going to share their experience on how they build these partnerships with MSIs. And first, we are going to start with Tilos Yusu Wang. Go ahead.
All right, just give me 1 second to share my slides. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, we can hear and we can see
okay.
The slides.
Excellent. All right. So I'm Yusu Wang. So I'm director for TILOS, which stands for the Institute of Learning Enabled Optimization at Scale. So we're one NSF AI institute focusing on AI and optimization. So let me first tell you a bit about the institute itself. So our mission is really to co-advance and co-evolve AI and optimization, okay, become a nexus of learning optimization and the leading edge of practice for three very high-stake areas: chip design, networks, and robotics. So we have some of the brightest minds in these areas from UCSD, MIT, National University, UPenn, UT Austin, Yale, and the San Diego State University together to achieve these goals. And to achieve our mission, we do so through several virtuous cycles from foundational research to use domains, from research to education to translation to industry leading edge. Okay, so I want to see first tell you a few things about our research focus, and I'm going to come to our expanded AI partnership. So as I said, that our ultimate goal is to co-advance AI and optimization. So now in this modern era, AI and optimization actually has a very complex and intertwined relationship. On one hand, AI can really help to accelerate optimization and decision-making in practice. On the other hand, optimization itself is actually perhaps the key component of modern AI across all learning models, okay? So that affects all aspects from your training, from your the robustness of your models, about how your model generalizes. Okay, so it affects all these aspects, okay? So our institute hope to co-advance, leverage this interaction between AI and optimization, and co-advance both through five foundational pillars. I will not get into detail, but we aim to, through these five foundational pillars, we aim to push the frontier of AI, develop innovative AI methods that are scalable, robust, adaptable, and also ready for the real world complexity and constraints, especially those coming from our core use domains, the chip design, networks, and robotics. All these fields has been at the foundation of the technology progress in the past several decades, and also they are full of optimization challenges. And if you're interested in our research, I mean, you can also check out our webpage or our Google Scholar page. Now, at the same time, we also have a very robust and active collaboration with the cutting edge industry, including Intel, Qualcomm. In fact, TILOS is partially sponsored by Intel as well. We have our collaboration already give us multiple joint publications. We also have a diverse range of educational and outreach activities, including focusing on the education workforce development in AI for non-traditional learners. Okay. And we also have different programs, initiatives to engage and outreach to the broader scientific community. Again, feel free to check out our webpage for more details. Okay, so let me now tell you a bit about our SDSU TILOS partnership, expand AI partnership, where the goal is to expand the AI capacity in the San Diego region. OK, Okay. Now, this is led by San Diego State University. The PI is Junfei Xie from SDSU. Now, SDSU is both HSI and also AANAPISI. So San Diego in recent years has really become a national hub in AI. And San Diego State University, SDSU, being the largest campus in Cal State University system, and also with their focus on accessible undergraduate education, engaging the community. So they are really uniquely positioned to address the workforce need of a diverse student population in the San Diego area. Okay, so this is so here are the PIs and the co-PIs from San Diego State University and the TELOS team members. So here, the collaboration, as already mentioned, this is really happening. The collaboration happens on all fronts, from research, education, outreach, and also infrastructure development. So this is the roadmap. I will not get into details here, but let me just emphasize that this partnership, this collaboration is really mutually beneficial, okay? We not only want to scale up the AI capacity at SDSU, addressing the surging demand from their students, partnership also strengthen and expand TELOS research, especially in distributed optimization, trustworthy AI, and also to build up a real test bed for testing AI systems. Okay. In addition, this also helps TELOS to reach out to a diverse and untapped talent pool in the AI workforce. Okay. And this in general, help to build, foster this constructive foundation of diverse AI community in the San Diego region. Okay. All right. So now we'd love to talk to you if you're interested. Feel free to reach out to us both through our website. We do have an Expand AI interest form, that Google form that you can fill in on our website if you're interested, or directly sending email to myself, to the TELOS at UCSD, or to our managing director, Angela, or to any FAC team member that you feel the more connected to. Okay, we'll be happy to have more discussions and conversations with you. In fact, this is actually crucial in order to develop a mutually beneficial partnership. Okay, so overall, what I want to say is that we hope that in the long run, through this NSF Expand AI, we would like to build a long-term relationship with you and with the scientific community, to enhance AI both from research to education, to the practical impact. Okay, that's all that I have to present.
Thank you. Steve.
All right. We'll bring up the slide there for, there we go. I'm Steve Brown. I'm Associate Director of AFIS, AI Institute for Next Generation Food Systems. And we are in the first group of AI institutes funded, and we are funded by USDA NIFA. And currently, we're one of five ag AI institutes. So in this presentation, I'll introduce not only AFIS, but also the other four institutes that are ag focused as well, because many of you are in the agricultural domain and may want to seek out partnerships based on the capabilities of the other four as well. Next slide. Of the five Ag AI institutes, each of us has a different focus area, and ours is a building a healthier society and a more sustainable planet. And how we do this is through AI as the connective tissue between the entire food system's elements. That would be going from molecular breeding to breed more healthy crops, more climate resilient crops, all the way to through ag production, food processing, for example, pathogen detection in processing. And then finally in nutrition, what is in your food? What is the nutritional dark matter in food? So we're looking at AI to disrupt the space and help agriculture move greatly more forward than it has in the past. Our Subawardees include Berkeley, Illinois, Cornell, USDA's Western Human Nutrition Center, and the extension arm of the UC system called UCANR, Agriculture and Natural Resources. As you can see on the map there, we put a dot on the various partners that we have worked with along the way. These include letters of collaboration with universities, letters of support with universities, and Expand AI program. The dot right there in southern New Mexico is New Mexico State University, who has our Expand AI Partnership Award. Over in Europe, you can see that we've established some relationships with food and agricultural universities and companies. Next slide. You can go to our website, aphis.ucdavis.edu, and you can take a look at all the projects that we've worked on in the food system. Along the way, we have continued many of them and through today, and we're in our fifth year of funding from USDA NIFA. A lot of them are very exciting, and feel free to take your time and read through them. I won't go through them right now, but they do span the entire food system. As we do have relationships with different universities, with letters of collaboration, support, and now Expand AI partnership, we try to match up the expertise of our institute researchers with those that are seeking letters of support, as well as New Mexico State University's partnership relationship. So next slide. And a little bit more about the Institute of APHIS itself. We have funded 65 teams over these past years, and we've leveraged $35 million in funded projects along the way. This would be additional grants that have been leveraged thanks to the APHIS research dollars that have supported new focus areas within us at UC Davis, as well as Berkeley, Illinois, and Cornell, and so forth. That's our paper count. That needs to be updated. We've had a lot recently. And then supported faculty and PhD trainees. There's quite the grad student ecosystem that the Institute has supported. We've also had a significant community outreach program in various ways, including career fellowship programs, hackathons, and workshops, as well as just large speaking engagements. We've been prominently featured even just last week at the National Ag Robotics Conference that featured us as we announced the next year's competition for the Farm Robotics Challenge. And then you can see a couple of the other numbers there. I'll note, as far as our relationship with New Mexico State University, that how it started was just as Telos noted there, you have expertise within the AI Institute. It's sought out by the potential partner, and you find the researchers that are doing that work that overlaps, and you see, you know, what are the marriages here? And then secondly, what is the bandwidth that's possible? So from that, we had two of our researchers specifically sought out from New Mexico State University. They happen to be Mason Earls and Isaiah Kaseka. Mason is ag data. Isaiah is water and soil measurement systems. This married well with New Mexico State University's areas of interest, as well as we have applied into our grant proposal with them, the education workforce outreach expertise. And we're providing some help with what we call our AI Bridge program, where we educate students and also the workforce and faculty in building AI machine learning systems. Next slide. Okay, and that is it for, yeah, that is it for APHIS, and I'll hand it back over to, I believe, Abby.
Yes, thank you very much, Steve and Yusu, and big thank you to my NSF colleagues as well. That is the end of the presentation. This final slide gives you some important information on submission windows, Upcoming office hours, November and December. They will continue next year, but these are the dates for November and December. And of course, contact information for questions and so forth. So at this point, we are ready to take your questions. Many of them are already there in the Q&A, so we'll sort of work through the Q&A. Our preference is that you type your question into the Q&A and we'll be sure to get to them. Okay, so at this point, I'm going to hand over to Nick, who is monitoring Q&A, and we'll all chime in with answers.
One of the very most straightforward questions is where can the attendees find the slides? Those will be sent in an email, I think a link to the recording and the slides, right?
Yes, at the end of the webinar, at some point over the next day or two, I believe, all registrants will receive a link to the recording of the webinar, and you'll be able to re-watch it if you want. And you should also receive the slides themselves. If you don't, then please let me know.
Okay. Let me see here. I'm going to go somewhat back in time here. One of the very first questions that was asked was how many partners can be partner proposals, I believe, can be submitted by an institute? An institute have more than one?
Okay, that's a great question. Thank you. An institution, an MSI, the question is how many partner proposals can be submitted? And the answer is, in theory, unlimited. We recognize that MSIs can be pretty big in terms of numbers of faculty and students and areas of disciplinary areas and areas of research. And so we do not limit the number of partner proposals that can be submitted, as long as the proposals are in distinct areas, areas that do not overlap, then the MSI is welcome to submit a partner proposal in partnership with the AI Institute that they have identified. Does anyone else want to chime in on that? Maybe Nick?
Just from the other direction, also for the AI institutes, they are not limited in partnering just with one MSI. So if you see, for example, that Delos or APHIS or other AI institutes, they have already some partnerships with existing MSIs, that doesn't mean that they cannot partner with you. So there's no limit also in terms of the AI institute. So if you find an AI institute that you think that you can partner with them, please go ahead and see if you can form that partnership, regardless of previous partnerships that those AI institutes may have with other MSIs.
There's a question that I had answered, I had asked for clarification on, and this is the one that says, is it possible to submit two CAPs with different research areas? So that was the first part. The second part, will it affect it if we submit a partner on different area of research and CAP on another area of research? So the answer to the first part, is it possible to submit two CAPs from the same MSI with different research areas? The capacity building track is really an institutional change track. It's a track in which you're trying to change the status of the institution when it comes to capacity for AI. And so we expect that whatever proposal comes in is not focused on the individual research area of a PI or a department or a unit on campus. The CAP should work across disciplines on campus and try to build capacity in multiple areas. So I hope that answers that first part. The second part, Will it affect it if we submit a partner on a different area of research and a CAP on another area? The answer is no. If after you have successfully had funding for CAP and executed the project successfully, you come back for a partner award in an area that was not mentioned in the CAP, then that's fine. You can choose to do a partner project in a more specific area of research that aligns with the particular institute that you selected. And yeah.
Okay, thanks, Abby. There was one question that was just submitted, and it kind of touched on another question that was asked earlier about the typical timeline for feedback on concept outlines. I was just going to add that typically you will receive feedback within a few weeks. If it's taking longer than that, please reach out to me directly, and I'll make sure that it wasn't like lost somewhere or there wasn't some unusual sort of administrative error. If it's taking longer, it might be because we're following up on due diligence. Maybe if it's like a partner proposal with the institute. But typically, it is a few weeks. That's that one. There's a flip side sort of question to the partnership question that was asked. Instead of can a single institute have multiple partners, someone was asking if it is possible for a single MSI to partner with multiple institutes. This is in a partner proposal. So I believe they're asking within a single proposal, could they partner with multiple institutes? And
Yes, they can. The lower limit is one. The upper limit is right now we have 27 AI institutes, so they can partner with all of them. But it's going to be challenging in the sense that the more partnerships you create, you have to show that these have to be beneficial for all the AI institutes that are involved, and also for the MSI. So yes, you can, but the proposal writing and the concept outline should clearly identify why these partnerships are beneficial to the AI institutes and to the MSI. So it's a little bit more of a challenge on how to do it right, but yes, in some cases that makes sense and you should pursue multiple partnerships with the existing AI institutes.
yes. There's a related question, sub question to that, which is what will be the budget split between the MSI and the AI Institute?
This is up to the proposal writers to decide on how they're going to do the budget splits. NSF does not take a position on that. It's whatever makes sense in the context of the research and the educational workforce development activities that are being proposed.
Thank you, Ariel.
But I would add to that that we expect that the majority of the funds will benefit the MSI, not so much the AI Institute. So we're not looking for a 50-50 split.
Yes, good point. Okay. Another straightforward question about the submission window. So someone was asking, I think when the last one closed, I believe we answered that in the presentation. And then someone's asking about when the next available submitted proposal is, assuming your concept outline has been reviewed by us and we've extended the invitation. That will be January 6th. So the proposal window just closed on October 18th, the last one of 2024. So over the next this quarter, there will be no proposal submission window, but it'll open in the beginning of the new year. Yes, yeah, so I believe this answers the anonymous attendee's question as well. Oh no, this is actually a different question. If a PI at a university or say an MSI has submitted an expand AI proposal and gotten declined, does that then limit or just prevent another PI from the same MSI from submitting to the program? Presumably within, they mean within the same submission window. Abby, do you want to answer this one?
I can take that. The answer is no. As long as you wait for a decision to be made on the first proposal submitted from the institution, once you wait for that decision to be public, then you have the opportunity to submit another proposal from the same institution. In other words, while the decision is pending, you may not submit. Once a decision is taken, then you may submit. How do you find out? Well, you could talk to folks on your campus if you're comfortable doing that. If not, you can contact us and we'll let you know.
Yes, and this is with the qualifier that you still have to do the concept outline submission. So you'll have to do that still. Another somewhat tricky question. If you submit a concept outline, and in the first submission, say like you have a certain set of PIs and co-PIs, can you add a co-PI in the like the full proposal, I believe is what the question is asking. This is Nirmala Sandrajan's question.
I think that question was modified to basically ask if a concept outline, if a second concept outline that responded to a declined first concept outline was submitted, if it could incorporate a new co-PI. So there was a clarification of her question further down that I've already answered in the affirmative.
The answer is yes. Yeah. So yes, between COs, first time rejected CO, second time, if you modify the CO and change the team, the project team, that's fine, because we expect that in revising the CO, you may revise aspects of the project which may require changing the composition of the team. So that's perfectly okay.
How about in between the CO and the full proposal? Can they add personnel to the full proposal that weren't in the CO?
In between the CO and the full proposal, as long as it does not substantially change the nature of the project, because when we invite you to submit based on a CO, the idea is that the proposal you will eventually submit will reflect the ideas shared in the CO. Now, does that restrict the PI team composition? Strictly not, as long as the project itself has not changed. I would say yes, you have a little bit of liberty there to change composition, because folks leave institutions and folks are hired, and you have a 12 month window. There's a lot that can happen in 12 months. Well, yeah, thank you for that question. These are all great questions.
Yeah, I would echo that. There's a question here about the partner track, but I believe this is a similar type of question as well for the CAP track. We listed a set of technical aims spanning several topics in our slide deck, but could it be focused on just one or two of those topics? For example, workforce development, or say like just technical innovation and the technical domain, or does it have to cover everything? I believe Arianne, you wanted to answer this?
Yeah, sure. So they can choose whichever aims and thrust they want to develop in the full proposals. There's not a requirement that they cover all aims or all thrusts that they had initially. But as Abby made the point earlier on, if the concept outline is substantially different from the full proposal, then there is a mismatch that is going to be caught by the reviewers because the proposal is not going to be as probably as well evaluated. But technically, if they think that it's best to focus on one or two thrusts, then yes, they can do that. It's perfectly fine. But it's even better if they make this decision at the concept outline process so that they can get the feedback early on. Now, if they came in the concept outline with four or five different thrusts and then in the full proposal, they decided to just go with one or two thrusts, it is their right to do so, but it may be reflected in the review process that perhaps the proposal is not as well developed.
Thank you, yes. There are definitely awards that have been made for proposals that do not attempt to do everything all at once. So
Nick, I'd like to expand on an answer to a question by Manaz Roshanay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a question that's very similar to another question. Does an adjunct professor, is he or she eligible to be a PI? And Abudin correctly put into the chat or the Q&A that the PI must hold a full-time faculty appointment or be a senior administrator at an eligible institution, which is what the solicitation specifies. Your administration, your Office of Sponsored Projects, will be the organization that determines whether you are eligible, whether you qualify as a full-time faculty member as an adjunct professor. Some universities consider their full-time adjunct professors as full-time faculty appointments, and some may not. So you need to contact your administration in order to clarify that. But in terms of the criteria that the solicitation puts out that NSF is going to make their adjudication on, it's a full-time faculty appointment is what your university will certify when they submit your proposal. So before you put in the effort, you should contact your administration to determine whether they will indeed certify you as a full-time faculty member.
Thanks, Al. We have another pretty straightforward question. I'm not sure if this has been answered already, but just to reiterate, someone asked if you've been awarded a CAP, can we apply for a partner? Yes, there are no limits in the solicitation on how many awards you can have per institution. You just have to follow the submission process that we outlined.
And actually, that's a desired outcome, that if you receive the CAP and then you took the time to build the capacity, then the next stage would be to see if you are able to move to the partner track and create some meaningful partnerships with one or more AI institutes. So it's a desired outcome of the CAP investment if you are able to move to the partner track.
Thank you. Antonio Delgado asks, is there any incentive for AI institutes to work with community colleges that are MSIs and offer four-year degrees?
I can take that. Thank you for that question. The eligibility conditions for institutions is spelled out in the solicitation under seven categories of eligible institutions. And I want to point you to category number two, which says that Hispanic serving institutions, I believe that's the category that you might be referring to, accredited institution of higher education that award bachelor level degrees that have a 25% or greater full-time equivalent enrollment of Hispanic undergraduate students. And so I would recommend that you go through that list of seven options and see which one best suits your institution as a community college. If you are a Hispanic serving institution and you award bachelor level degrees, you have 25% or greater full-time equivalent of Hispanic undergraduates, then yes, you are eligible.
Okay, thank you, Abby. Yeah, as for, I think the literal wording was incentive. I don't think there's any, say, like, carrot that is offered for part of the community college, but the eligibility was as Abby laid out. We covered this related question about whether CO proposal has to include new program or curricular development, or if it can has to include research component. We mentioned that you can do one or the other or both if you feel like any particular set is the most optimal for your institution. We were also asked if there was anything that needs to be provided by the AI Institute at the concept outline stage if you're submitting a partner CO. My understanding is that you will need that senior member of the Institute to be listed as a co-PI on the concept outline at that stage. So they should be aware and with and co-signing that this partnership is something that they would like to propose. Anything else to add, Abby or Ariel?
I think, yes, you're correct. You need to list your point of contact, senior personnel at the AI Institute. But in addition to listing, we expect that behind that, you've had those conversations that are necessary to determine whether or not a partnership makes sense. So make sure that you have had those conversations. There is a good indication from the AI Institute that the interests align well, and they have the capacity, I think, as either Yusu or Steve mentioned, the capacity, bandwidth, whatever you want to call it, to undertake that partnership at that time. The AI Institutes are pretty large beasts, as I say, and they are quite busy hubs of activity. And sometimes it's simply making sure that they have the capacity to undertake the partnership. So, yeah, make sure that those conversations have happened, because we generally will check up on that as well.
Thank you, Abby. This question on successful rates of full proposals so far. I don't know if I could give a number off the top of my head, but due to the
we cannot provide those. We cannot provide that information in terms of funding rates.
Yes.
But we encourage submitters to submit this to this program. It's a new program that is expanding in terms of the awards, and we are looking forward to receiving your proposals. So we strongly encourage submissions.
Thank you. There's another question on eligibility for partnership track proposals. Is there any ability to partner outside of AI institutes? Someone says the solicitation is a little bit vague, and we say NSF-funded institutions.
No, for the partnership track, it has to be an AI institute. So it can be either the lead organization or any of the subawardees when the award was made. But other than those, you are not allowed to partner with anybody else in the context of this program.
It'd be pretty straightforward. Thing asks, how soon can a revised CO be submitted? Assuming you get the determination on a CO saying that we are not inviting a proposal, we want you to resubmit, you can submit essentially as soon as you get that notification. There's no cooling off period or waiting period on submitting a revised CO.
However, taking a few days to reflect on the comments and revising the CO might be beneficial.
Yes, that is a good point.
Yeah, and we suggest also that if you wanted to talk to one of the program officers about the feedback that you received on the CO, you should do that as well. Carefully consider that feedback in revising the CO.
Can we transfer a funded partner proposal if the PI changes institution?
I can answer that. I think that it depends on whether the PI is changing to another MSI. That is generally permissible. If the PI is changing to another institution which is not among the approved MSI, HSI institutions within the solicitation, then that would not be possible.
I wanted to see if there are questions for Steve and Yusu, our guests. Any questions specifically on partnerships, partnering, exploring partnerships, finding an AI institute with which you can partner? Any specific questions for?
So maybe I can ask a question to either one of them. So how long was the process from when you started the initial conversations with an MSI to actually submitting a concept outline? And how involved was that process?
I'll go ahead and take that first, Aaron. And I did want to note before I answer this that if anybody wants to go and try to do your marriage brokering online, go to AIinstitutes.org and you can search each institute based on different keywords. And that may help you land on a researcher more quickly than otherwise. So anyway, with the answer, Aaron, I would say it was about 8 months from start to finish. And the perhaps it was a little bit longer path for USDA NIFA, but it started with the initial reach out that says, here's our expertise, here's your institute's expertise that we think matches, what's the bandwidth? And we started from there and we matched bandwidth and they said, yeah, we can do this. And we went from there. Yusuf?
Sure, yeah, I think it really depends. It depends on the team, like whether how well have they before having any prior connections, bonding, collaboration, and so on. So with this expanded AI that I just presented with SDSU, I would say slightly on the, you know, reasonably more smooth line in the sense that the team clicked immediately and there are a lot of good ideas. So everything was developed a bit, not very slowly. But we are also having a couple of others currently under planning. And for example, one of them, we got encouraged to submit, but then it takes, because we want to do it right. I mean, in both cases, I want to emphasize that actually TILOs, at least some team members at TILOs are very closely involved in this process. So in the second case, I mean, it takes a little longer to develop. And then in another case, our concept paper was declined, but then we revised it to have more conversations to address the comments and so on. So it really depends. I mean, yeah.
Thank you. Any additional questions, either for guests from TILOS and APHIS or for NSF, the Expand AI folks? Any additional questions? We still have a good 15 minutes, just under 15 minutes to go.
There was a question that was submitted, and I'm wondering if there's two questions. I wonder if they're kind of connected together. It's on whether if you're proposing a partner proposal, you have to, I think this is saying you have to, do you have to extend the research themes identified in an earlier CAP proposal if you're proposing a new partner proposal? I believe the answer is no.
Yes, I thought we answered that, but the answer is no. After you've had your CAP, we assume that you've been able to build capacity in some way, shape, or form at the MSI. Now, at that point, theoretically speaking, you, the PI, or anyone else who benefited from the capacity building effort can decide, well, now I have a reasonable amount of capacity, and I want to look to partnership with an AI institute. So it could be any other individual on the campus, in any field. So yeah, there is no there's not necessarily a connection between the CAP projects proposed and the partner projects that come later.
That's all the questions we have so far. Like Abby said, we do have some time left for more questions to be asked.
Any additional thoughts from Steve and Yusu? Any advice or?
Yeah, Abby, one thing I wanted to note is our institute hosted this last month what we called 1890 slash MSI Days at UC Davis. And although 1890 is a term specific for ag universities, the concept of bringing together minority-serving institutes to start to identify who the contacts are, the researchers at each university, is a valuable one. And I know that, APHIS, we really benefited, and I think the attendees benefited from that as well. So, down the road, I would encourage anybody on the webinar to seek out any type of in-person opportunities to visit the potential partner. It could be an open house day, an expo day, or something. So that's worth it.
Thank
If I
you.
can just add to that, I think also to all of the potential institutions who want to apply for this, I mean, feel free to reach out to any of this AI institutes because, I mean, also like Abby said earlier, each of the NSF AI institute is very diverse, it's huge, and there are different expertise, different interests, a different experience that they already have. So maybe you may have a vague concept that you want to either increase the capacity, build the partnership in some way, but don't have a very concrete, very clear idea. But then talk to those AI institute. Very often, they can inject new ideas potentially to expand based on what you have in mind. So, I mean, we would be happy to share our experience and in various form from research to outreach with you as well. Yeah.
Thank you. Abby, I have a question. Let's say somebody is interested in Expand AI and they want to serve as a reviewer for the Expand AI. So what should they be doing in order to let you know that they are interested in serving as a reviewer for the Expand AI program?
Well, that's a great question, Nick. Yes, thanks for the reminder. We are always recruiting reviewers for panels. As a matter of fact, we are re recruiting right now. So it's a wonderful way to get to know the program a little more closely. And so if you have some availability to review on a relatively small panel, our panels are not big. Please shoot an email to expandaiprogram@nsf.gov and we will put you in the database of reviewers so that as panels come up, we can call on you. Sometimes we also need ad hoc reviewers. So in that case too, we'll be aware that you're available. But yeah, it's a great way to learn about the program. It does force you to read the solicitation very closely. If not more closely than when you write the proposal, a pretty detailed read of the solicitation is necessary in order to do a good job. Does that answer the question, Arian? Yeah.
Yes, thank you.
I was going to check with Steve that those days, that those open houses you have, are those advertised on the IVO site or of your, how will folks find out?
Yeah, so if any event is occurring, we encourage that institute to let AVO know about it, and we'll put it into the events blurbs on the website as well as our LinkedIn feed. So if anybody wants to get quick notifications, they can go to our LinkedIn, and you can search it through LinkedIn and get connected through our feeds that way.
And I'll just flash up on the screen here. I think the AI Institute's URL again on this slide. So if you're curious about learning more about the institutes, you can go to this link. And again, these slides will be emailed out after within the when the recording is finished. So you can click on the hyperlink then.
Also, Steve, do you want to take a minute and maybe say something about the Expand AI workshop that happened at SAIL so that attendees are aware of it and the materials that may come out in AVO as part of that workshop?
Certainly. The SAIL workshop for Expand AI was a joint, it was a combination meeting with SAIL, which is a summit for AI Institutes leadership that occurs annually for the AI Institutes. So the Expand AI, let's see, Monday. Yeah, Monday was Expand AI workshop. It was part of the whole workshops for SAIL. And it drew registration from Abby, correct me, I think about 100 people, 100 attendees for that. And they learned a lot. They communicated a lot, exchanged a lot of ideas. They interfaced with AI institutes. So coming from that, there's going to be some write-ups, I understand, from what you know the cumulative information that was discussed will be distributed.
We had a question come in about sort of collaboration among MSIs. There was a question about whether a small group of MSIs could collaborate on a project, say, like an online AI curriculum, and have that be a possible Expand AI project. Would you all say?
So let me answer that. It's not particularly encouraged for groups of MSIs to come in together for funding under one project. No. And the reason for that is simple. Each MSI is unique. There are no two MSIs that have the exact same needs, same population of students or faculty. We want to make sure that when you come to us requesting funding to grow capacity or to establish capacity at your MSI, it is totally focused on your MSI and not two or three other institutions. So we strongly recommend that MSIs come in on their own, and not partner with another MSI. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't have partnerships with other nonprofits, for example, in coming to us as an MSI. That is totally permissible. You can find partners that would help boost the kinds of activities that you plan. But we do not encourage MSIs to come together, to work in tandem. No.
Thank you, Abby. We have one more question coming in on sort of reporting and how it works for a partner award. The solicitation states that a partner award will be a continuing award rather than a standard award. How is this going to be implemented in terms of the project reporting requirement?
Sorry, I missed that. And I don't see it. I was busy reading.
Oh, Meng Tang is asking, how does reporting work for the partner awards? Like I assume reporting to NSF. What sort of the requirements are there?
For reporting, it's the usual. You write an annual report once a year at the end of each year. Telling us what was accomplished primarily. There is a template for putting together the annual report every year. Regardless of whether it's continuing or standard, you still need to submit an annual report. So I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, the difference between standard and continuing is in terms of how they receive the funds, but does not change the reporting requirements.
Okay, we have time for one more question. Someone wants to get in at the last minute.
Any final questions? Anything come to mind that we have not covered?
A follow-up to the collaboration of MSIs, is it not recommended to not have a subaward to support AI curriculum slash education for transfer students and another partner who is also an MSI? There's a bit of a specific case here. So I assume in this scenario, there's another MSI that is transferring students to the primary awardee. They're asking whether that is not encouraged.
I think that has to be done on a case-by-case basis. Thank you for that question, Aiken. We would need to look at your situation carefully. So you have some sort of articulation agreement with another MSI in which their students feed into your programs. This is the situation you're referring to. I think that we should discuss. So if you contact me or Nick or someone on the team, we can set up a time and we can talk a little bit more about this situation.
Yeah, we are glad to discuss the particulars. And another question that came at the last minute. Any restrictions on the PI team for two different proposals? I'm not exactly sure if this means if you can have the same PI team for two different proposals, if that's what they're asking.
There are no restrictions. The other restrictions apply in terms of when they can submit proposals, the fact that they must have approved concept outlines before they can submit proposals, but there are no restrictions in compositions of teams for the proposals.
Okay, well, it is 3:30. So I'm going to say a big thank you first to Steve and Yusu for spending time with us this afternoon and sharing insights. Very, very helpful. We appreciate it. And I'm sure you will have many follow-up inquiries as a result. So get ready. And I want to thank my NSF colleagues here for their participation and question answering, expert question answering for a relatively new program. Sometimes for us too, there is a learning curve. So thank you for all of those questions. It's helped us. And do get in touch if you have additional ones or if you want a review for the program. Yeah. Enjoy the
Thank you,
rest.
everyone.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Take care, Nick.
Have a good one.